The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, after surviving an abusive childhood, Victor Marks became one of the top martial artists in the country.
But I've been dunked in a tub till I passed out. I was electrocuted as a kid. At 7 years old, that stepfather put me in a chair and held a loaded pistol with a hammer back to my head.
Stay tuned for the world's fastest gun disarm as he is joined by his wife, Eileen, who is also a black belt. Their amazing story of hope and restoration. Next on Life Today.
Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James, and you're going to meet an incredible couple today.
As a matter of fact, you're going to meet them in an unusual setting, and then you're going to see them in person, but I want you to meet them in an elevator first, because this is pretty incredible. You want to kind of tighten your seatbelt and get ready not to move, and you might, in a moment, might want to call some folks and say, you got to watch this and see just what God can do with an impossible, totally impossible situation. Let's start in an elevator.
One floor.
I'll get it. Give me your money and the lady too.
Buddy, you can have the money, but I don't think you want the lady.
Really?
No, honey, that's not what I meant. No, honey, I wasn't meaning that in a derogatory. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
What do you think this is, a joke? I said, give me your money.
You sure this is what you want?
What do you think?
Good catch. I told you, you didn't want the lady.
Would you welcome Victor and Eileen Marks right today? That was fun, wasn't it?
That was very fun.
Now, you were in the Marines.
Yes, sir.
And you're a 7-degree black belt.
Correct.
Your wife was, I think, some kind of a national competitive champion.
Yep, Miss Fitness USA. Yep.
And
black belt as well.
Yeah, so I'm be real nice. Anything I can do for you? This is the Victor Marks story. It is a powerful documentary. And Victor has a ministry where he goes and talks to incarcerated young people especially. This is probably as powerful as anything you'll ever see. You could play it to the whole church. But where would they go if they wanted you to come because they believed you could have an impact?
Oh, sure. You know what? Most churches and organizations find us at victormarks with an X.com. Mm-hmm. They can just email us right through that or on Facebook or any, if they go to YouTube, we have all of our information right there.
Now, you worked for years with Focus on the Family.
I did.
They're actually the ones that encouraged you to start telling your story because it was tough to tell.
Correct.
And so I want you to kind of cut to the chase. We got less than 15 minutes for you to cover a lot of ground, a lifetime. But the thing that opened you both up was when the two of you had been married for a while, you were having a little bit of tension, right? Was that why you were at Focus?
Oh, yes.
Was while you were there? Sure. So they're focusing on the family. You got some tension. Then you found out about his past. Isn't that right? And you began to see what he had been through.
Well, it was in pieces that we were finding out about his past, because he really didn't even know about his past. When he started walking in and talking to the kids who've been incarcerated and hearing their stories, he started remembering his stuff. And that started, he wasn't able to hold it in anymore. And that's when he started, the doctors were saying it was post-traumatic stress disorder. So yes, that's when I started to see this bizarre behavior and irrational thinking and things that he was going through. He was actually diagnosed with bipolar.
Well, just cover the ground as quickly as you can, because it's in the book, the Victor Marks story, and it's incredible what he went through. But what you need to hear is not only how difficult the circumstances and how damaging, but how great God was to bring him out.
Amen. My father was a drug dealer and a pimp who didn't claim me as his kid. When my mom got pregnant, he said, "That ain't mine." And, you know, my mother would end up marrying 6 times. I went to 14 schools, 17 different houses. But my life, I would say, radically changed outside of the rejection that you feel when there's not a dad there. When I was 5 years old in Mendenhall, Mississippi, in the middle of the summer, I was caught by a child molester. And he went to abuse me, and then he tried to kill me by locking me in a commercial cooler and leaving me there for dead. My family would look for me for hours, and they looked in the woods down by the pond. They thought maybe I'd drown. But when they came in there, it was at a chicken farm. When they came into that building and they opened the cooler, I was unconscious. Now, they would they ended up taking me. They didn't take me to the hospital. They just rushed me up to the house. And they actually found the fellow who did it, and then they hung him from behind my mama's house. Now, they didn't kill him. They just wanted to put fear in him. But when he was hanging limp, they cut him down. So that was kind of the basis of the formation. And I wish that the abuse stopped there, but it didn't. A lot of times when people get abused, they almost have, you know, a big X on them, and they become a target. And my first stepfather was very abusive to us. And from the ages of 3 to 7, you know, I would be tortured and abused. And meaning, and I don't like to bring great darkness. I don't want to give the enemy any type of, but it, I like to tell enough so people understand what God has done, because it is a miracle. But I've been dunked in a tub till I passed out. I was electrocuted as a kid. And the reason why I'm known for this gun technique is because at 7 years old, that stepfather put me in a chair and held a loaded pistol with a hammer back to my head. Mm-hmm. And he said he'd kill me if I ever told anybody what he had done. Mm-hmm. So that was a driving factor in my life to excel at martial arts, to say, no one's gonna touch me, and if anybody ever puts a gun to my head, I'm gonna be able to disarm them. So through this basis foundation, my life continued to be crazy. I had one stepfather who I would later find out as a teenager had killed somebody and went to Chino prison for murder. And I'm like asking my mom, really? I mean, you know, another one. And, and believe it or not, my mom was doing the best that she could because she came from dysfunction. You know, I mean, in our family, our issues had issues. So, you know, we were just, you're just kind of doing the best that you can. And I think most people do when they come from that background. Well, my grandfather would die in a mental hospital. It was the same mental hospital that my dad went to. And then I had to go into psychiatric care. I had 123 visits to a trauma specialist in 9 months. I was on Depakote, Depakine. We did Prozac, Zoloft, lithium, Buspar, all this. I was having flashbacks that were interfering with my life. They'd be at night terrors, daytime, high anxiety and panic, and we didn't know what was going on. And people say, well, you know, was there anybody, another grandparent? My other grandfather actually killed his wife and shot himself in public in Louisiana. So that was my foundation. And I would end up finding a place to take me in, and it was the United States Marine Corps. And it was good for me. You know, they taught me structure, discipline. But I had all that anger, right, all that anger. And with an M16, I became a competitive shooter. I could shoot or put 10, you know, you guys are hunters, so 10 rounds on the able target of a man at 546 yards without a scope. So that was, again, a driving factor, but I didn't have peace. And the Lord is really, he set me free to be able to tell my story and give people permission to get help. Ask God for help. You know, don't, and if there's one common thread that I see, people say, you know, well, if God's such a loving God, why would he cause this? You know what I've learned is there's a difference between causing and allowing. The enemy, the devil, who hates us, and then evil people with their own will to choose to do evil, that's who we blame, not God. God is a loving Father, just like you have always taught and you've stayed steady on, and I'm about to get it. But he loves us, and it breaks his heart. And it really took an encounter with God for me, because, you know, I asked, where were you in my abuse? When I was being laid on a bed and beat to where, you know, where were you? And you know what? The Lord showed me one time, and I'll never forget, as I'm laying on the bed, my stepfather had been drinking. He grabbed that, you know, that leather strap, and he went to hit me. I saw the Lord appear in between me and him. And then I'm watching this. I'm thinking, well, touch him, kill him, do some, blow his heart out. But it wouldn't have been real, because that did not happen. What I saw next changed my perspective of how loving Jesus is and God the Father. And you know what? Jesus turned, and I'm on that bed, and he kneeled down, and he meshed his body into mine right before I got hit. And he took the hardest beatings so that I could survive. That's a God who I can love. That's a Jesus who I can trust, who will take my pain for me. Nobody else can do that. No other gods, no other addictions or sources. That's real. And you know what? That impacted my life in a huge way. And I would see through layers of being healed. And when she talked about stuff that I didn't remember, it's stuff I didn't want to remember, stuff I had pushed down. But I tell people, you know what? Pushing down abuse and trauma from your past is like holding a beach ball underwater. You can do it for so long, but eventually it's going to pop up. And our behavior tells on us. And that's what caused us. I put this poor woman through hell. And, you know, one of the things she did that proved to me, because for me it was, is God really, can God love me? And I believe this all my heart, even in the Christian, even Christianity in the church, most people really don't get that God loves them. And one night I had a complete breakdown, flashback. I was curled up in a ball and we were up in our bedroom and our doors were shut, and I ended up ripping my clothes off, screaming, and ran into the shower, and I fell in a ball, and I just held my knees to myself, because I kept yelling, don't let him kill me, don't let him kill me. You know, my wife, she came into that bathroom fully dressed, opened the shower door. She walked in, she had kneeled down, and she held me. And she didn't try to fix me, she just cried with me. And for me, it was God showing me, I love you. And he was loving me through her. And that impacted me in a huge way. And I tell people, you know, if you got a spouse who has suffered from past, it's a gift to be there. Because you can be used of God in a way to prove to them and replace lies that the enemy has planted, because those are the strongholds, the lies. And that's why we love you guys so much.
Yeah.
I love you, Victor, and Darlene, thank you for showing him love.
Yes.
What did you see happen to him? What did you watch God do?
I watched God show himself the misrepresentation that he had of who God was broke, was crushed. God showed him who he really was. A loving God, one that loved Victor and had a plan and purpose through all of his pain. It wasn't just because this man or these people were evil. God is using it to show other people that God is love and he's real and he wants to take their pain.
He's a redeemer.
He's a redeemer.
He's a redeemer of what evil people meant for Bob.
Your story is in the Victor Mark story, and we'd love to send it to you. And we just have just really a couple of minutes, but you were actually led to Christ by Which man?
It was my biological dad that actually came back into my life through a letter, and he said something had happened to him, and I was blown away because he said he had given his life to Jesus Christ. Now, this is a man who, the last I'd heard, he was a practicing warlock, but he invited me to go to church, and I took leave of absence from the Marine Corps, flew down, and I went to church with him, and I heard just a simple message, how much Jesus loved me, and he died on the cross for my sins, and it was the first time I stopped blaming everybody else. I took responsibility because I knew my sin, my wrong put him on the cross, and he loved me. And even at the point of my salvation, I mean, an elder came and put his hand on me, and when he did, I turned around and grabbed the man. I was going to punch him. I said, I don't like to be touched. My dad was on the front row. He was like, I know the boy. He'll hit you. You have to just let God do what he's going to do. And
he did, didn't he? God did what he was going to do.
And my biological dad ended up being my best man in our wedding.
Is that awesome?
Only God can do that.
You went back later to the stepfather that was so mean, and he was in the hospital. He had open heart surgery.
Correct, and he was sick and dying at that point. And you know what? I remember him. You know, this was a chance for God to show Himself really strong on my behalf, because here I was, not a little boy, getting ready to escape. You know, because we had to hide in the closet from him the night we left. And I just want to tell you this: the night we left, we were hiding in the closet. He came to the door with a gun. And my mama started praying, the blood of Jesus covers the door, the blood of Jesus covers, and he couldn't get in to shoot us. And that night, my mom wanted me to tell you this. I didn't know this. I did not know this until yesterday. My mom said, you make sure and you tell Brother James and Miss Betty. That night, my older sister was supposed to come home. And we got out the window, but she didn't come home that night, that time, because she was at a crusade by James Robinson in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Wow.
If she would have got killed, my mom said, you tell him, his obedience to God is what saved her life. And I didn't know this till yesterday. And she's in that movie. She's in that film. That's my sister Debbie.
God, tell him what happened to this. Tell him what happened to this.
Well, my stepfather, there he was in the hospital, and God put it on my heart the night before I'd see him no more. We woke up and I was crying for him to get saved. And I went in there to that hospital room, and there he was. And I had tried to tell him, but he said, don't tell me about Jesus, just show me. And that morning I went in, he introduced me to his nurse. He said, nurse, this is my son. He said, I'm proud of him. And I never heard the words. He said, he's been worried about my security in heaven. He said, he don't have to worry no more. I made it right with God. Mm-hmm. And he gave his life to the Lord that night. And I was able to, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was such a holy moment. She backed out, and I said, "But Lord, what do you want me to tell this man?" He said, tell him you love him. And I looked at him, I said, Dad, I love you. And he looked up at me and said, boy, I love you too. And then I took a pillow and put it over his head. I'm joking. Don't laugh, that's wrong.
You appreciate this incredible testimony, do you? Thank God for the depth of my soul. Thank you, God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. That he loves you.
Yes.
He gave his life for you. He's been raised to live in you. To not only love you, but love others through you. And just you. Just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my life. I give you my life. If you want to call that number, you want somebody to pray with you, it's paid for by love. I've prepared a book called Knowing God as Father. Victor and I, neither one really had a father. We know the Father. And I'll send it to you just to say I want to help you grow and show you scriptures. Tell someone, I just asked Jesus to change my life. We'll be so glad to send you the Victor Marks story. We've got some other gifts we want to send you. Here's what I ask you to do. I want to ask you to stop the dying. I want to ask you to be a part of a miracle. Listen to the prayer from a brokenhearted friend, and then you be the answer to that prayer, because you can be. I think you'll want to be.
Africa, what an incredible place. What beautiful people. Their fight for survival
oh, how they fight for life. But every 6 seconds, a child here is losing that fight. It's not right. Such injustice. Every 6 seconds, malnutrition takes another child here. It seems hopeless. Is it hopeless? Every 6 seconds. God, what are you saying here? What is your heart for this situation? Every 6 seconds. You're bigger than this. I know your arms are long enough. Every 6 seconds. Rescue them. We have to rescue them. What is my part? Another child. We have to stop it. It's not hopeless. It can't be hopeless. But another one. This isn't an incurable disease. It's food. It's so simple. It's food. God, if there's anywhere in the world that your heart runs to, I know this is it. These innocent children. Oh, how you love them. We can do this. I know it's your will. We can do this. Please, help us turn back the clock.
I don't know, Abbott, if you noticed, but while Tammy was talking and really praying and crying out for help in behalf of the children, she's the beautiful singer that lost her husband not long after being married. He was a swimmer, and yet just went out for a swim and never came back. And she's so precious. But while she was talking about those children going, every 6 seconds, one dies from malnutrition. And you saw those pictures. Every 6 seconds, a child would disappear from the frame. 12 children disappeared. Every 6 seconds, while I'm talking. We really are the answer to the heart cry of the parent of that child and those children, to the ache and the heart cry of the child. We're the answer. We're the answer to the prayer, to the need, and we can be the hands of God, the hands of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these overlooked, forgotten, feed them, care for them, clothe them, you've done it to me as directly as it's possible. Would you right now in the last days of this mission feeding emphasis where we're feeding hundreds of thousands of children, but I want you to think of them as those individuals, not as just a huge crowd. It's a huge crowd because the missionaries have found them. And because we said, we will help you because we knew you would help. Otherwise, it would only be talk. So we're asking you to dial the number. Take your bank card and use it like a check. $30. $50, $100, no gifts too small, no gift too large. I'm praying there'll be people today who'll say, I'm going to write a check for several thousand dollars. Thank God there are people who write one for $10,000. Many who will write a $1,000 check, I pray you do today. And many who will write the $100. I'm always going to press for the largest amount to reach the largest number of children and to help them. But here's a wonderful thing you need to know. We have been offered a $3.8 million food grant. This just comes like a miracle from God. All we have to do is guarantee the delivery of it. But that's going to require an extra $640,000 above what we had anticipated having to raise, which means we've got to complete raising the funds for all those children the missionaries have in place. And now we're just trying to put the food in their hands and the lives of those children. We need another $640,000. 600 people could make a gift today. 640 give $1,000, we'd have it. Let me tell you what can happen today that's so incredible. Whatever you give will be multiplied six times. Because if we can raise that $640,000, we get $3.8 million. That means $100 becomes $600, $1,000 becomes $6,000. Whatever you can do, it's kind of like multiplying the bread and fish. It really is a miracle answer to prayer. But it only comes to pass if you offer what you have in your hand. That's how it happens. Give me what you have. I'll multiply it. Would you do it? Dial the number, take the bank card, make the best gift you can. You can go to lifetoday.org and make the gift. We have some special gifts to send you to say thank you, to bless you as you help us bless others. Thank you so much for doing it.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Today, you can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. And now we have a miracle opportunity. A $3.8 million food grant has been offered to us for our mission and relief efforts. All we have to do is guarantee we can deliver the food at a cost of $640,000. This means your gift today can now have six times the impact. $30 to help feed three children can have a $180 impact. $50 for five children can have a $300 impact. And $100 to help feed 10 children can have a $600 impact for feeding. With your gift, you can receive James Robison's newest book, God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, which today can have a $6,000 impact. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart. You may get a busy. There are a couple of things going on. A lot of people are calling to say we gave our life to Christ. In the greatest crisis, 80% of the calls that come to our prayer center every day are from people calling for help. Only 20% call and say we are going to help. But if you get a busy, get through. Help us get the help you need. Betty, were you impressed with the story you heard today?
It was awesome, really awesome.
What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we have.
The Victor Mark story, we're going to send you the documentary of his life. It's incredible. It's been in the theaters. You ought to show it to your whole church. It's awesome. I send it to you as a gift. Remember the God of all creation. This is the life lessons we can learn from pets, believe it or not, and wildlife. Consider the birds. Well, consider the pets. You'll see why. Would you join Betty and me in saying a big thanks to Eileen and Victor Mark? What a blessing. You two are a tremendous blessing. Tell Mom I'm glad that crusade was there.
Yes.
I remember it. Didn't remember her, of course, but I remember the crusade. God bless you folks in Mississippi, too. I love you. All over America. All over the world. We love you.
Tomorrow.
That thing that keeps getting us into a mess doesn't just need correction, it needs healing.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.